this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, this evening it's going to be open line Wednesday. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And if you'd like to talk about what I'm talking about, great. If you'd like to talk about something that is on your mind, a different subject, why, that's fine too. But today I had the opportunity of talking to Alex Jones. And Alex certainly has done a yeoman's job of reaching a lot of people with an understanding that something is seriously wrong in our society. And he's put out a wonderful new DVD. It's called Endgame. And it talks about the Bilderbergers, but it also talks about population control, which is certainly one of my favorite subjects. So I thought maybe we'd start talking about that, and if you'd like to talk about some other things, just let me know. But certainly one of the important books written by someone on the other side is called The Impact of Science on Society. It was published in 1953, and it was written by Bertrand Russell, who's one of those intellectuals who looks down on common people like you and I. And on page, I believe, 50 of his book, he says this: education should aim at destroying free will, so that after pupils have left school, they shall be incapable throughout the rest of their lives of thinking or acting otherwise than as their schoolmasters would have wished. Diet, injections, and injunctions will combine from a very early age to produce the sort of character and the sort of beliefs that the authorities consider desirable, and any serious criticism of the powers that be will become psychologically impossible. And ladies and gentlemen, have you tried to talk to people about what's going on today? A lot of people, when you try to tell them what's going on, that there is an elite group that runs the world, that is plunging America, the whole world, into a brutal and terrible Holocaust, their eyes glaze over, and they simply shake their heads and say it couldn't be true. Let me continue then with what Bertrand Russell wrote. Remember now, he's writing in the post-Nazi era, 1953. The Nazis were more scientific than the present rulers of Russia, and were more inclined towards the sort of atrocities that I have in mind. If they had survived, they would probably have been taken to scientific breeding, and any nation which adopts this practice will, within a generation, secure great military advantages. The system, one may surmise, will be something like this, except possibly in the governing aristocracy. All but 5% of the males and 30% of the females will be sterilized. The 30% of the females will be expected to spend the years from 18 to 40 in reproduction in order to secure adequate cannon fodder. As a rule, artificial insemination will be preferred to the natural method. Sires will be chosen for various qualities, some for muscles, others for brains. All will have to be healthy, and unless they are to be the fathers of the oligarchs, they will have to be submissive and of a docile disposition. In other words, certainly Bertrand Russell anticipated there would be a ruling oligarchy. He was a member of it. He believed that you and I were too dumb to understand much of this. He never intended for you ever to hear what he had written. Give us a call, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Well, then Bertrand Russell goes on with his dissertation on how to produce this wonderful new society he believes in. And He says, gradually, by selective breeding, the congenital differences between the rulers and the ruled will increase until they become almost different species. A revolt of the plebs would become as unthinkable as an organized insurrection of sheep against the practice of eating mutton. I don't pretend that birth control is the only way of population to be kept from increasing. Certainly there are others. War has hitherto been disappointing in this respect, but perhaps bacteriological war may prove very effective. If a Black Death could be spread throughout the world once in every generation, survivors could procreate freely without making the world too full. And understand, ladies and gentlemen, there really are people who feel this way. Certainly when Dr. Sam Keen addressed the State of the World Forum up in the San Francisco area about 1995, he talked about the necessity of killing 90% or eliminating 90% of the world's population. He got a standing ovation. Just last year, there's a doctor, he's a PhD, of University of Texas. And he gave a talk, talking about how he really believed that the best thing to do would be to kill 90% of the world's population. He suggested using some sort of a Ebola type of a virus that could be spread readily, and then he got a standing ovation from many members of his audience. Understand that there really are people out there who look at the world differently than you and I. And one of the interesting things about Alex Jones' new video, or DVD, is the fact that he has pictures of this professor from the University of Texas who wants to kill 90% of the world's population. We've actually looked it up. We've got the references on it. There's no question that this professor has openly advocated killing off 90% of the world's population. And we shouldn't be surprised. Jacques Cousteau had said in the UNESCO Courier in 1991 that, you know, it's a terrible thing to say, but we're going to have to eliminate 350,000 people a day to bring the Earth back into balance. We're going to have to eliminate 350,000 people a day to bring the Earth back in balance. I mean, we hear what a terrible person Adolf Hitler was. Adolf Hitler was a terrible person. But compared to Jacques Cousteau and the University of Texas professor and certainly Dr. Sam Keen, why, of course, these guys were pikers. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is an Open Lines evening, and we're looking forward to your calls at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And it really is so difficult for people to believe that there are people in key positions in government who want to kill off large parts of the population. But what Alex Jones does, and if you've not yet seen his DVD, Endgame, you need to get it. It's an excellent overview of what's going on. He refers to the fact that there was a royal commission. It was appointed in the 1960s. It lasted for 4 or 5 years. It dealt with the problem of population control. And they decided there were just too many people in the world. They were going to have to kill them off. Certainly in 1974, there was a report issued by your government. It was called National Security Study Memorandum 200, NSSM 200. That's NSSM 200. And you can get it in the entirety from Radio Liberty. We do carry that. You can get it on the Internet if you want to pull it down and copy it, but we have it. Came out, initially it was classified or top secret, but coming out over the name of Henry Kissinger, it advocated worldwide population control, and the major purpose of American foreign policy was going to be population control. And of course, it was, remember, in 1973 we had Roe versus Wade. Now we could support abortion in the United States and throughout the world, and we've killed literally hundreds of millions of people since then. We've sterilized women, we've financed the one-child policy in communist China, we've certainly done everything to encourage abortion throughout the world. And where is the outcry? Well, there's no outcry because people really can't find it in their hearts to believe that they would really be doing this sort of thing. But they really are. There's long-term planning. They know exactly what they're doing, but they can't let the American people really understand. And so what Alex does with his video is he actually takes you to Elberton, Georgia, where they have the Georgia Guidestones. And I'll have to admit, when I first heard of the Georgia Guidestones, I found it difficult to believe that there was a monument here in America that called for the elimination of over 90% of the world's population. But I went to see it. It's real. It's not imaginary. And, of course, it is in Elberton, about 40 miles from Atlanta. And there on a lonely hill, sitting out by itself, is this, they call it the American Stonehenge, certainly the Georgia Guidestones. And there, in eight different languages, chiseled into this large granite monument, is the Ten Commandments that come from the dark side. And point number one is maintain the world population in constant balance with nature. It calls for a new religion. It calls for birth control. It calls for restructuring of society. It was, according to Alex, it was put up by the Rosicrucians. I know that the man who actually financed the Georgia Guidestones was a man named R.C. Christian, but that wasn't his real name. Alex claims that, and he may very well be right, that some of the local people there in Elberton have researched it and found that this was put up by the Rosicrucians, which is a secret society that dates back to the 1400s. It's a continuation of the ancient mystery religions. And the Ten Commandments that are chiseled into the granite of the Georgia Guidestones are really, of course, are the basic elements of the mystery religions of antiquity. Well, we've got Mike calling from Ottawa, Canada. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hi, good. Interesting topic tonight. I had a thought.
Go right ahead.
I think one of the basic tenets of this whole strategy of theirs is to make us hate ourselves. And one way that they're doing this is that they're fomenting a lot of conflict in the world. Our respect for our fellow man is at an all-time low. You know, all of the things that they do to make us despise each other, like these serial killings, these pornography, the wars.
But, of course, you're absolutely right. But what they're trying to do, of course, is creating racial hatred here in America. They're trying to make the white people hate the Mexicans who are here illegally, and the Mexicans who are here illegally hate the whites, and they're trying to get the whites to hate the blacks and the blacks to hate the whites. These are all part of the things. And then they're trying to get the Christians to hate the Muslims and the Muslims to hate the Christians. So what you're saying is absolutely true, but it's more than on an individual basis. I mean, they're trying to get one class of people. I mean, it's amazing how many good Christians are quite willing to think about going to war with the Muslim world because they've got a terrible religion, and because in years past, in centuries past, they've been extremely violent, and that's why we're going to have to kill them now. And how any Christian can support what's going on in the Middle East, I really don't understand. How any Christian can support torture, I do not understand. But somehow they seem to rationalize it in their mind. They're just not thinking they're being manipulated.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. It's to the point where even if the Muslims won't fight back, what they'll do, I think, is they'll actually attack themselves. They'll send Blackwater, a team of mercenary soldiers, over there to attack the U.S. Army. They'll dress them up as Muslims. And that's how extreme it's gotten. And you were saying there's different factions that are being played off against each other. Another one of them is the men versus women angle. And I think the serial killings come in there. I think David McGowan's work is so important because he delves into a lot of these serial killings and things that are going on. And I think that's a big part of it too, is that every time there's one of these psychos in any given city killing these people, it creates a chill effect. It divides the community, divides people along gender lines. Like I know women that tell me I won't go out jogging at 6 a.m. because I don't feel safe. And I said to her, I said, well, don't you understand? I said, if if all of you saw the opposite, if you all went out together in the millions in the morning, you'd be so safe because there'd be so many people out there. So, you know, there are, people are isolating themselves, they're withdrawing, and it just plays into the hands of these people. All the crime that they foment, you know, the drugs that they bring in, the serial killers that they create.
In fact, we have a wonderful a book. It's called On Satanic Crimes, and there's a four-tape set that goes with that, and you're absolutely right. The people who analyze this, you know, of course, point out that there really are all of these serial killers, and so many of these tie into one or another satanic cult, and yet this is always played down. For instance, the Son of Sam killings, David Berkowitz. And of course he was part of a group that was tied into the Process Church of the Final Judgment, and the same thing was true with Manson. Manson was tied into this whole satanic movement, but they've got people working within our FBI, and their job is to go around, and anybody who talks about Satanism or satanic crimes, why the FBI is right there to assure us that there's nothing to be concerned about. Just as 40 years ago, they were telling us there was no mafia, no Cosa Nostra.
Yes,
so the FBI is part of the problem, not the solution.
Oh. You're saying they were denying that the mafia was around?
Yeah, that was actually...
40 years ago?
40 years ago. Well, actually, it was before Kennedy was assassinated. So what's that? So that's pretty good. Pushing 40 years ago, 45 years ago. And for many years, J. Edgar Hoover denied that the Cosa Nostra, the national mafia organization, existed. And the reason he denied it is because he was a transsexual, he was a homosexual, and they had pictures of him cross-dressing, and of course they would have exposed him. So he covered for the mafia. And it really wasn't until, you know, the Kennedys got in. Bobby Kennedy was a senator and was bringing up all these things about organized crime, and eventually... why they arrested a number of the people at a Cosa Nostra meeting, and then Hoover could no longer deny that the Cosa Nostra existed, but he never forgave Bobby Kennedy, and it cost both Jack Kennedy and Bobby Kennedy their lives because of the hatred of J. Edgar Hoover was involved in the killing of both of them.
You know what's funny is that they could frame him with pictures like that. And today, probably there are published pictures like that of somebody. The guy would get a medal.
Yeah, like Giuliani, who's a cross-dresser. Hey, we're out of time. Anything else you want to say, Mike, before we let you go?
No, it was great talking to you. I'm always listening, and you're doing a great job.
God bless, and thanks very much. That's Mike calling from Ottawa. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or... 464-8295, but right now we've got Tom calling from Ohio. Now, he's in Ohio. He doesn't live in Ohio. Hi, Tom. How are you doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. It's so good to hear your voice, and I'm so glad that you recovered from your procedure. Very good to carry on this battle, because we need all the help we can get, and I'm hoping to God, by the grace of God, that he'll give you as much time as you need to fight this battle until we've achieved the victory.
Well, I appreciate that, and I hope he does, too. He's got me this far, so let's hope we'll get the rest of the way. We're a little weak yet, but we're getting stronger, and it's so good to be back on the air talking to our listeners. So what can we do for you tonight?
Well, if you got the winning numbers, I can throw you some money.
I'm afraid that we've never been lucky enough to win the lottery.
You're the fellow that just called for, I think it was from Canada, I think, what he was talking about is the white guilt.
Right.
I was gonna get a bumper sticker made up, Dr. Stan said, got white guilt.
Well, of course, you know, they're playing games with the minds of the American people.
Absolutely.
And until people understand that they have these psychological techniques, they know how to use them. In fact, we love that wonderful quotation that comes from Edward Bernays back in 1928 in his book entitled Propaganda, and this is what he said. The conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in a democratic society, and those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds are molded, Our tastes are formed or our ideas are suggested largely by men we have never heard of. And that's really so true.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
And, of course, the New Hampshire primary. And I think New Hampshire is going to be probably very important this year. It's going to be interesting to see whether, you know, the people from all over the country are going to New Hampshire and talking to the people there are going to be able to introduce them to these ideas of freedom. After all, what's New Hampshire is certainly, their slogan of their state is live free or die. Who knows? Maybe they'll... They might even nominate Ron Paul.
Well, they made them take that off the license plate up there. I understand.
Right.
They don't have it on there. But see, the Constitution only works in a Christian nation with high moral standards. I don't know how we're going to get back to that only by much prayer.
Much prayer and a revival. What we need, what we really need, Tom, are men of God who are out there, you know, preaching the gospel and putting the fear of the Lord in the people. Exactly as Jonathan Edwards did back in the 1730s and Charles Finney did in the 1830s. I wish we had men like that today.
I got copies of Finney's book, and I got a copy of the sermon that Edwards preached.
And remember that great sermon of, you know, what was it?
Edwards preached?
It was it was the one that Edwards preached. And it was
sinner sliding off into hell.
A sinner in the hands of an angry God,
exactly.
I think was the title. A sinner in the hands of an angry God. What we've done is we've changed the very nature of God. God loves everybody. Nobody ever goes to hell. Well, if God loves everybody and nobody ever goes to hell, then why do we need a Savior?
They'll want the core in them when the earth swallowed them up.
Amen to that.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
God bless, Tom. Thank you.
Godspeed.
Okay, fine. Well, we've got another caller here, and we'll have him up in just a moment, and his name is Bill. So, Bill, where are you from?
Hello, Dr. Stan. I want to talk to you about Ron Paul.
Okay, well, fine. I know I can't express an opinion, but I can let you express an opinion. Go ahead. And
well,
Bill
really
is calling from Johnstown, New York. Is that upstate?
Yes, it is.
Okay, go ahead.
I was wondering if you heard anything about what happened in, what was it, the San Francisco straw poll that they had?
Well, they have straw polls all over the country, and usually if it's an honest straw poll of people who actually saw the debate, why Ron Paul wins hands down. But they you have to understand that cheaters cheat. And we've got liars working within the media and, of course, monitoring these polls. So sometimes they'll come up with other conclusions. But if it's an honest poll, Ron Paul's message is what the American people want to hear. So
yes,
he usually wins these straw polls.
Yeah, but did you hear what happened in this straw poll that they had?
No.
The Republican straw poll?
No. Do you have what the results for us?
Actually, what happened was it was a straw poll, and they had a dinner. If you wanted to go there and have the dinner, it was $33. If you just wanted to go there to vote, it only cost you $5. And what happened was they sat down, they had their dinner and all this other stuff, and they had representatives there that was going to speak for each one of the candidates. And when it got time after the dinner was done, and about time for the, you know, the festivities to start, the lady come up and she actually come out and said, well, there's too many Ron Paul supporters here, so we're canceling the vote.
Well, there is a
YouTube video.
That's known as democracy.
Yes, there is a YouTube video. I'm pretty sure if you look for it on a YouTube video, you can see how upset the people were that they just couldn't have the all of a sudden, since they didn't like what the outcome was going to be. They just tipped over the checkerboard, as they say.
Well, I can believe that sort of thing can happen. I mean, certainly there's no fairness here. What you have to understand, Bill, is we're up against the most powerful people in the world, people who rule the world, who have countless trillions of dollars at their disposal. And this, of course, is the Bilderbergers and the CFR and the Trilateral Commission. And they don't want somebody who wants to get back to the Constitution. They don't want somebody who wants to do away with the Federal Reserve System and the Infernal Revenue Service. And they're not going to allow it to happen. I think one of the things we ought to be doing is praying for Ron Paul's safety, because I think that they would kill him if it looked like he might have a chance.
Oh, yeah, there was talks about that when he first jumped into the race. There was a lot of people saying that they were afraid that they were going to Bobby Kennedy him.
Right.
So, yeah, he is very aware of that.
Well, look, let me get our telephone number out here. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And to this very day, you know, the gentleman, Saran, who supposedly shot Bobby Kennedy, says, I don't remember what happened. And, of course, he was standing in front of Bobby Kennedy. The bullets went in from behind. Never did figure that one out. Hang on, we'll be right back, Bill.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, well, we've got Bill calling from Johnstown, New York. Bill, did you have something else you'd like to say?
No, I thought wanted to see if you were aware of what happened in San Francisco today with that straw poll. There were just too many Ron Paul supporters that showed up, so we, you know, it wouldn't be. They actually said it wouldn't be fair.
Right.
What? What do you mean? You're not supposed to show up and vote for the candidate that you want? So, you know, there was, you know, what if, you know, one of the guys that was on the video says, well, what would happen if, you know, more Fred Thompson people? Would that make it fair?
Anyway, thanks you very much for calling, Bill.
Okay, thank you, Dr.
God bless. And let's go to Diane, who's calling from San Mateo. And again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. Diane, how are you tonight?
Hello, Dr. Stan. What a pleasure to talk with you. Listen, I wanted to talk about Ron Paul, too, and I know there's certain things you can't say, but you've always mentioned that we need to band together, that everyone needs to do their part and what have you, and we're flung in so many directions. And considering the danger to Ron Paul if he were, you know, by some miracle to get past, you know, the powers that are out there to stop him, do you think he has ever thought about becoming a leader of your type, you know, a populist leader? He could absolutely, and he's fired, you know, he has this base fired up. He says what the American people really want to hear. Do you think he would be interested in giving up the political arena, which is almost pointless and certainly almost suicidal for him, and perhaps step into the, you know, the media and the grassroots? And I think, you know, considering what a job you do, if he were to be pulled into, you know, that arena, maybe he could galvanize us.
Well, I think really, Chris, what needs to be done, Diane, is to educate the general public. Now, you obviously are well aware of what's going on, but so many people are not. No, I think Ron Paul's a great talent is there in Congress, or certainly as a political leader, because basically it's all about power. Unfortunately, this is the very essence of what it is. And were he to become president, you know, we would really have to pray for him. But there's no chance he's going to become president without God's support. There's just no way in the world this can happen. But I think each of us is called to one thing. I'm called to educate, not in politics. Ron Paul, I believe, is really called in politics. Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We have on the line with us Diane from San Mateo, who said that maybe Ron Paul ought to get into the media and spend his time trying to educate people. Well, I think he's a wonderful educator. And I will tell you, if you read my latest newsletters, we've actually taken what Ron Paul said to Alan Greenspan and what Alan Greenspan said to Ron Paul at the meetings of the House Banking Committee when Alan Greenspan testified before the House Banking Committee in 2004 and 2005, and you'll find that at our website of RadioLiberty.com, and I hope this month I'll be able to complete this series we're writing on the financial collapse. But Ron Paul, you know, has this great ability to take an idea and crystallize it and put it into one page. And that, we've got a lot of people out there who can write and write very well, but they're going to take 30 pages to say what Ron Paul says in one page. So, but right now, I think that his thrust is in politics, just as I think mine is in radio and in education. Nope. But I can't educate enough people. It's going to take people like you, Diane, and our other listeners to actually just keep talking and trying to reach other people and trying to get them to think. And if you can't get them to think, then get them to listen to Radio Liberty, and maybe I can get them to think. That's all we can do.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Doctor.
God bless, and thanks so very much for calling, Diane. And once again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And a cell phone caller had called and had said, did President Bush really say that the Constitution is just a damn piece of paper? Please comment. And the only comment I would have was, I don't know. I mean, I've heard this, but I really don't know what he said. I will tell you what he said to me personally when I was with him. And we were interviewing all of the Republican candidates back in 1999, a group of Christian leaders, and don't ask me what I was doing there, but under any circumstances, we had the unique opportunity of going to Washington, D.C. and interviewing Gary Bauer and Sidney, the other leading the candidates at the time, Pat Buchanan, we had a chance to talk to, and Smith, I guess it was Bob Jones, was running at the time, Steve Forbes, and it was an interesting experience, but we had an opportunity of meeting with George Bush. And when my friend John Stormer asked the president-to-be, at that time he was the governor, and John Stormer, who wrote the book, None Dare Call It Treason, back in 1964, and John is a wonderful person, and I'm proud to call him a friend. John Stormer asked George W. Bush, and he said to him, Governor, if you were to become the President of the United States and Congress were to pass a piece of legislation having to do with education or transportation that was unconstitutional, would you sign the legislation? Well, now, because you have to understand that George Bush was told what to say in answer to every question that he was going to be asked. I mean, they have people who figure out all the questions, give him the right answers, and so he was doing pretty well, professing his Christian faith, and of course tying it to Billy Graham, and talking about, you know, how conservative he was, and Christian he was, and moral he was, but nobody had told him about that question. And when John Stormer asked Governor Bush if he would actually sign a piece of legislation that was unconstitutional, he just sat there. And it got to be rather embarrassing. And finally he said, I don't understand the question. And then John Stormer said, well, let me simplify it. If Congress passed a piece of legislation on education that was unconstitutional, would you sign that unconstitutional legislation? And once again, why, George Bush sat there and said, that is a very good question. I'm going to go home and research that. So in answer to the caller from the cell phone caller who wanted to know, did he make the remark the Constitution is just a damn piece of paper? I don't know whether they did or not. But I will tell you that when we talked to him in 1999, he didn't understand the Constitution. He didn't even know what was meant when they referred to something being unconstitutional. In fact, somewhat later after he was elected, he did sign the McCain-Feingold bill, and he said, I knew it was unconstitutional, but I signed it because I figured the Supreme Court would find it unconstitutional and would negate it. So I signed the legislation knowing it was unconstitutional, and then, of course, the United States Supreme Court upheld McCain-Feingold. How they could possibly do that, I don't know, but we have traitors on the Supreme Court, just like we have traitors in many places in government. These are subversives who want to change the structure of our government, and nobody wants to actually come right out and say it. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and we invite your calls. If you have something you'd like to talk about this evening, well, I would love to talk to you, but you have to understand that there is a planned program for population control in America today. For instance, why do you think they outlawed DDT back in 1973? Remember, that was the same year that they legalized abortion. Well, they legalized abortion so they could kill 40 to 50 million unborn children, which they've done here in the United States. And the United States is the largest financier of abortion throughout the world. We financed International Planned Parenthood that financed the one-child policy in communist China. And you have to understand that basically the United States has brought the communists to power in China back in 1949 and 1950 by putting an embargo on the nationalist Chinese so they couldn't buy weapons anywhere in the world. And the communist Chinese under Mao didn't win the revolution. There was no battle at all. The nationalists had nothing to fight with, thanks to the American State Department. But we can't let the American people know that any more than we can let them know that the United States has financed communism in Russia going all the way back to 1918 and 1919. And if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, you need to get it. You need to get our latest treatise. It's called The Communist-Capitalist Alliance. It goes into how we have financed communism since its inception and financing it right up until the very present time. And although we're having to borrow money every single day to pay our bills, about $2 billion, either from Americans or from foreigners, we still can give several billion dollars to Russia. You need to get this pamphlet. It's inexpensive. Communist-Capitalist Alliance. Did you ever wonder how it was that Russia, which 10 years ago actually had to default on its international loans because it didn't have any money, how they suddenly became the largest producer of oil and natural gas in the world? Well, if you've ever wondered that, you really need to read this treatise on the Communist-Capitalist Alliance, and you'll find out that you finance it, ladies and gentlemen. The Export-Import Bank, the United States Export-Import Bank, the United States Asian Development Bank, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, it was your money that drilled the oil wells and built the pipelines, and of course that, and of course the money that came from Exxon, and the money that came from Royal Dutch Shell and from British Petroleum. Of course, British Petroleum represents, at least in part, the English royal family. Royal Dutch Shell is the Dutch royal family. And this all ties into the royalty, the black nobility of Europe, and of course these secret societies that are around for, well, thousands of years. Well, our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And let's go to Jack calling from Michigan. Hi, Jack. How are we doing?
Hi, Dr. Stan. Well, it's 17 degrees here and a nice wintry wind blowing.
And now, are you in Detroit or are you in Flint?
In the Flint area.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, several things. You mentioned Edward Bernays' propaganda book. Is that something that is still available?
Well, it's out of print. We could actually make copies. We'd have to charge people for them. But
right,
we do have it. It's certainly it's out of copyright, so we can make copies. And if people want to order them, why, we'll be glad to get them for them.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, let's see. There was the...
And Bernays' book is really so important because Bernays was a major player in water fluoridation and selling the American people that, oh my goodness, if you wanted to have, you know, children with nice teeth without cavities, we have to fluoridate the water. And there's a wonderful book we call The Fluoride Deception, goes into Bernays, the part that he played working for the U.S. Public Health Service to sell the American people a lie that putting a poison in the water, a poison that would decrease fertility and lower intelligence, that would produce cancer, that one would destroy the endocrine system. We're poisoning the American people, as it says. It poisons the heart. Water fluoridation is not allowed in Europe because they know it's a poison. Isn't it amazing that there's not one in 1,000 Americans who understands that this is part of the population control agenda? In fact, you can read the things that come out of the population control advocates back in the 70s and 60s, talking about putting something in the water that would control fertility. And if you do look at the studies, the relationship between fertility and water fluoridation, why, of course, you find that there's a definite correlation. And not only that, but, of course, they're using not sodium fluoride, but hydrofluosilicic acid. And in the communities, any community that has that, you get an increased level of lead in the water supply. Lead has a toxic effect on the brain. And, of course, there in those communities which are fluoridated, you'll find increased violence. Because, in fact, especially among the blacks, because you get 6 times increase in the level of lead in the blood of blacks compared with what you do with a blood of whites. And this is the work comes from Roger Masters at Dartmouth University. We have an interview with him. People need to get that material and understand that one reason, of course, that with so many blacks in prison is because there's so much water fluoridation and they have lead encephalopathy. But you're never going to hear that from the public. But wonderful interview with Roger Masters on that, and another one with Dr. David Conner, the professor of chemistry, who gave up his professorship to put up a website and to lead the battle on water fluoridation to try to get the American people to understand we're poisoning our people. But go ahead, Jack.
Is that last gentleman, the chemist, is he cited at NTEU280.org by any chance?
No, he's not. His name is David Conner, and his website is fluoridealert.org, as I remember.
Okay, all right. Chlorine, I suspect, is not used in Europe either, and I think chlorine is a primary active ingredient in either mustard gas or nerve gas, sarin gas. I gotta believe it's a toxic agent.
It is a toxic agent, but it's nowhere near as toxic as fluoride. Okay. And you put a chlorine into water to decontaminate it. And I have no objection to chlorine. I wish we didn't have to have it, but we need to have clean and safe water to drink. But chlorine does not have all the toxic effects that fluoride is. Fluoride is a much more active chemical on the periodic chart than chlorine is.
Oh, I know. I'm sorry. I just remembered the gentleman who called about President Bush calling the Constitution a blankety blank piece of paper. A very dear friend of mine who was visiting relatives over the weekend, his daughter-in-law had collated all sorts of news accounts off, the television, and she's got them right there stating that on some account. But I heard someone mention some time ago that the suitcase nukes that are purportedly here because of Russia allowing them to go on the black market, that they're rather difficult to sustain their activity.
I think that's absolutely right. They have to be constantly serviced. And a lot of this is done just to scare us to death.
And Dr. Stan, before you come on the same station, there's another, I won't mention the name of the program, but they had some supposedly Christian military authority fellow who was insisting that there's going to be 7 Hiroshimas or whatever nuclear explosions in 7 major cities, and he said that they're all attributed to these suitcase nukes, which he said all the intelligence community people are fully aware. And I just get a feeling that this fella is a disinformation propagandist.
There are a lot of them out there that use talk radio to put out their lies. Hey, we're going to have to let you go, Jack.
Thank you, Dr. Stan.
Caller. God bless. Thanks so much for calling.
Good night.
Good night. Let's go to Jerry, who's calling from Flint, Michigan. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, Jerry. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How you doing?
Doing just fine. Did you have a question or comment?
Yeah, I was listening to what you were talking about, and I can see how can our government not find a Muslim brother who they say is the enemy over in another country that's hiding in caves, but yet they can't find him, and they want us to believe that we spend billions of dollars on technology, and we can't find one person.
Well, because we're not trying to find them, and it should be pretty obvious to anybody who's thought about this that if we really wanted to get Osama bin Laden, we would have gotten him back in the year 2001. And we actually offer people an article that came out of the Washington Post, I think it was the 5th or 6th of October 2001, quoting a high government official who said, we don't have a program of getting Osama bin Laden first. We want to get Osama bin Laden last, because if we got Osama bin Laden, how would we justify this war? And that's what it was all about. In fact, I have pretty reliable sources. Osama bin Laden's been dead for some time now. He was on dialysis, and it's pretty hard to dialyze up there in a cave in Pakistan. It's a sophisticated medical procedure. So, you know, my suggestion is go up on the Internet and Google in Osama bin Laden dead, and you'll find thousands of entries there, but we can't let the American people know that because we've got to have an enemy, and boy, he is a wonderful enemy.
Yeah, and also I hear a lot of papers talking about how that now that Americans are over in that country, drugs have tripled or went up probably over 300% or 400% of opium now comes in our country.
Isn't that amazing? You know, here we control that country and we can't stop the drug traffic. I wonder how hard we're really trying. Hey, you hang on there, Jerry. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, our guest is Jerry. He's calling from Flint, Michigan, and bringing up a very important subject. I mean, we control Afghanistan. Our troops are there. I mean, we've got helicopters flying over the fields. Why don't we just wipe out the opium crop? And the thing is, we have no intention of doing that. The CIA is the largest distributor of drugs, of heroin and cocaine in the world. And if anybody doubts that, let me suggest our four-tape set on Is There Really a War on Drugs? The book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye, by Monica Jensen Stevenson, whose husband, William Stevenson, certainly always been one of my favorite authors. But understand that we can't let the American people know. No, we actually have the CIA Inspector General report on the CIA's involvement in bringing cocaine into this country during the Iran-Contra era. And Sydney, of course, this was in response to Gary Webb's articles in the San Jose Mercury. And, of course, you remember Gary Webb. First of all, he lost his job. Then he committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice to make absolutely certain he was dead. No, I believe he was assassinated by the CIA, or at least the intelligence agencies, that branch of them that is involved in the opium trade. And I think what Jerry is bringing out is the fact that we occupy, we control Afghanistan, we control the country that is the largest producer of heroin in the world, and since we've controlled it, why, of course, the incidents, the crops have almost tripled. Jerry, do you think anybody out there is smart enough to realize that maybe we're not really trying to control opium that is being used to destroy the lives of people in Europe and right here in America?
Yeah, I think a lot of people can see it, but I think the majority of people don't want to believe that our country can actually do that.
Well, I think it's true. I mean, I have no question in my mind. We've studied this. We've got all the documentation. We've got books written by people who are with the government, working for the DEA or for the CIA or the FBI. And they will, in fact, the books Defrauding America and Drugging America by Rodney Stitz will give you the names of the people who, many of them tried to bring out the truth. Many of them were sent to prison to silence them. Right here in America, we can't let the American people know the truth. Hey, Jerry, keep listening. Really good to know you're out there, and hopefully, you know, we'll get more and more people in the Flint area listening to it.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
Good night. God bless. And of course, that was Jerry calling from Flint, Michigan, on the drugs. Why can't we stop the drugs coming out of Afghanistan when we control the country? Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I always enjoy Open Line Wednesday. I hope you do as well. If you're interested in getting some of those items we talked about on the drug war, certainly we have a four-tape set. Is there really a war on drugs? And you'll hear Sarah McLennan asking Bill Clinton about the drugs in MENA Airport, and Bill Clinton is saying, well, that. Now, this is when Bill Clinton, of course, is the president. He's saying, well, that wasn't me. That was a federal operation. I was just the governor of the state. I had nothing to do with those drugs coming into MENA Airport. You'll actually hear the interchange between Sarah McLennan and Bill Clinton. A very important set. We, of course, carry the book Drugging America, another book called Defrauding America, and, of course, we still have copies of the book Kiss the Boys Goodbye, which talks about the men we abandoned in Vietnam, but also because of the fact that it talks about the CIA involvement in drug smuggling. And what they were doing was simply eviscerating the soldiers that died and packing the abdominal cavity with drugs and then sewing it back up again and using that as a means of getting the drugs into this country. And it was all handled by certain elements within the CIA. And we've talked to people in government who are well aware of this. They're not going to come forward because they don't want to end up being sent to federal prison because the truth got out. But the book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye, and my four-tape set, The Men We Left Behind, which has an interview with Monica Jensen Stevenson, who wrote the book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye. Now, the book was pulled off the shelves all across America so the information wouldn't get out. And then, of course, the pressure was... all the books were collected, but they weren't all destroyed. Monica did get the patent, or I should say the copyright to the book back after she moved to Canada with her husband. After a series of harassments in this country, they republished it up there, and then somebody bought up the publisher and just accidentally shredded 5,000 copies of the book so it couldn't be distributed. That's how they control thought in America. And that's covered in my second four-tape set, One Man Returned, I believe is the title of it. It's a story of the one POW who was able to come home. And, of course, and Monica tells the story of what happened to her, of the 5,000 copies of the book that were up in Canada that they just accidentally happened to shred. Well, ladies and gentlemen, of course, we